Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report this morning. Got the boss at the control panel tonight.
I'm just a working man. Kerry Boynes is the boss now.
Okay. And we're starting things off with cross country with John Sherb. So welcome back, John.
Well, it's come back again as usual, I guess.
Busy man with three sports and teaching in two schools, doing driver education and farming. So we got you to come into the Coaches Show this morning. Well, let's introduce your team.
Yeah, we've got roughly about 36 kids out. Nice number to work with. You know, every year you ask how our goal is always for 40. So I like our numbers. We got a lot of range of grades, which is really good too. Start off our seniors: Daytona Bissett, who has been out in the program for a long time; Taylor Wood, who's been through the years a lot; Reese Oxendorf, another senior; Becca Torgerson is the new one that came out. She does a lot of nice things, and you don't see many kids come out as a senior for cross country, and you like that when they come out and worked really hard. Gavin Carl, who qualified for state meet last year, we're hoping to get him back into that state meet again with him, and he's been looking very good. Caden Clark has had a very good summer. He looks good. He was all conference for us too, and you know he wasn't too far out of that qualifying. So again, we got a nice 1-2 punch there. So Cade Solom, who is really, you know, has been kind of pretty solid on that backside for us, and he's back there with it. Luke Stock, Brendan Sherb, our seniors, our juniors: Micaiah Poost, Alyssa Swinsky, Morgan Anderson, Ella Stock, Landon Keeman, Tanner Callis, who's first time he's out for us, so that's a nice addition there for us. And then Brody Nelson. Sophomores: Chloe Gleggie, who qualified for state meet last year. You know, again, like we said with Gavin, you know, our goal is to get them back to state. That's always, and you know, our other goal is always try to get someone to join them. It's always even better yet. It's always more the merrier when you can take more than, you know, a couple down. Shea Bothan, who had a tough year last year, has really looked good this summer, so she's coming back into the running. I've got a couple of managers that have helped us out with Olivia Essling, Taya Wilson, and Quinn Larson. Quinn has had some leg issues, so she didn't want to still be around the program, just couldn't run, so she's been in that managing. Harper Grunholtz, Sadie Rosendahl, these are all sophomores. Emma Johnson, who is nicked up, I don't know what her status is going to be, but hopefully we can maybe just tweak her a little bit. Madison Lee, another sophomore. Ninth graders: Tegan Conroy, ninth grade; Celeste Jenkins, ninth grade; eighth graders: Bryn Gleggie, an eighth grader; Colin Rosendahl, Eddie Felton, Matthew Bothan, Aaron Will, Max Bothan, Talia Hersom, and Kentara Sarral, Rias Lesmus, all eighth graders. Seventh graders: Uriah Speck, Harrison Sowie, Cambry Larson, Colton Schoenfeld, Macy Clavin. So got a really nice mix there, young and old. It's fun. You know, some of these guys, again, are jumping in nicely, and so it's good to see.
Yeah, and especially down in that 7, 8, and 9 group, you got some people that will really help you down the road.
Yeah, so. And that's what you got to keep rebuilding.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, us as coaches, we stick around for the next 20 years. We're still here. We lose, and we got to regroup, and we got to rebuild, and you got to go with that cycle.
Coaching staff,
again, stability is always key. Jason, I believe this is his fourth year, fifth year with the program.
Okay.
I've had all assistants I've had very, very good assistants, and he's another one as slowly has worked into the system and understands it and works well with the kids, and that's always a good thing. So.
Well, the usual question: what teams look good conference-wise and section-wise?
Conference on the girls, it's Cambies. You know, they've had just a cycle down there. Been running so well and been pretty much cream of the crop. And they do have some graduation, but they just keep reloading down there. So they're going to probably be the big time favorites on that. So I think we'll be in their shadows. Usually in years past, it's always been either Cambie or us on the in the conference. So I think they'll be kind of us two going at each other. I'm just hoping that we can maybe, you know, we've got the talent to do it. It's just a question is, do they want to have that talent to compete with that level? Because that's a pretty solid level. You know, they've qualified for state for the last couple of years. It's going to be a tough fight. So that will be in the boys' side, it'll be the same thing. I think it's going to be Canby and us. Canby lost in graduation. We lost in graduation. You know, we lost Eli Hagelin on our rotation a little bit. They lost one of their runners. So it's going to be kind of a nickel and dime again. It's going to kind of turn into a little bit of a dual meet between us and them on that one. But, you know, again, they won it last year, so they are the favorites on that side. If you look at sections, on the boys' side, we probably have the toughest section to get out. Really, really tough senior class. It's amazing how you can have 1 year dominate the force. That's what we've got. This crew, that's our seniors, watch them come through as freshmen, sophomores, have just been elite. You know, if you just go back in track and field, first and second place in the mile is our two juniors from our section. They're both seniors now, and they both have good teams. So it's a tough class, and we've got some very good seniors also. So it was just strange to see that tough. So, you know, you're going to look at that. You're going to have Redwood. You're going to have Laverne in there, MCC. Also, Wyndham snuck in there last year. They came out and ran really well at the end, too. So there's another one that's in there, too. So you've got that kind of that bunch to fight on that front side. Girls, very, you know, again, Redwood got in last year. Canby got in last year. I believe Redwood was really young last year, if I remember right. I think they were mainly 9th graders and 10th graders in that bunch. So they're going to be back. Canby girls got in last year. They'll be right in the thick of thing. Laverne was down a little bit Pete always reloads down there. And then also I look at probably an MCC also on the girls' side would be in that same bunch. So, and again, where can we fit? Again, that's the mystery of the question I have for the girls. I think the girls are the kind of the wild card of where they want to go as a group, and that'll come their decision. So we'll be very competitive. I mean, the section does very well. We have a tough section to get out for both boys and girls, and we compete very well at this level, so which is nice. Traditionally, whoever gets out places very well, Steve.
Right. Well, you have two events coming up.
Yes.
Coming week.
It's going to be a hot one. Sunday, Monday. You know, Monday, I'm hoping the heat will be moving out by the time we race up in Morris on Monday. We'll be up there at 5:30. You know, the nice thing with the Morris meet, it's an early one, but they run a 7th grade race. They run an 8th grade race, so you get a chance to let the 7th graders run against the 7th graders. So that will be 5:30 start up there with the 7th grade boys and girls, and that will be fun for us. And we'll do well at all levels, which will be nice to see there. And also get to see the old teams from up north where we used to compete when we were in Section 6A. So that will be kind of nice there. Then we'll turn around and have our home one on Thursday, which is a busy day for Thursday because I believe both schools, Dawson and Lack, both have home football games or both have games. So that makes a zoo. And then we have ours. And, you know, it's a long one, but we get to have our home one in Appleton. That'll be a 5:00 start. I believe we got about 8 teams coming. Okay. So that'll be a nice match to get the kinks out and see our biggest concern is we race hard on Monday. We'll come back Thursday. How sore, how tight we are. If anybody's tight or sore, they're probably not going to run just because we just don't want to take chances. But I think most of the kids are pretty much through the soreness. But that'll be a good one on Thursday at our place.
Okay. Well, school's starting right around the corner. Are both schools starting at the same time?
Yep, both schools starting Monday. So you get the Monday mass of just school. And you have to go to a sporting event. It's just going to be I think I'll send Connor in a bus. I'll just ride up with myself and just meet him there. So that bus ride may be a little bit antsy.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. Best of luck in those two events. Hopefully I can see you run on Thursday.
Okay.
I always like to go up there and work that event and see what the crowd's all.
Perfect.
Okay. Good. So thanks for coming in. We'll talk next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Cross Country. We'll have more of the Culture Show after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by, ride downtown, or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, chuck roast, $6 per pound.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention to Mallard Baseball. Matt Bunsen's with me this morning. And, of course, you've probably read the Western Guard and listened on the radio or were there in person. So you had three options there. Last Saturday, and as the Mallards finished out their season for another year, but they played a very good team, and they stayed with them for a while. So it was a good game, Matt.
Yep, yeah, thanks for having me on, Dick. But, yeah, of course, yeah, last Sunday we got to go to Belle Plaine and play in the state tournament for, I guess, the second time in my career. Second time since we had started back up in 2004, and yep. Yeah, facing a very good Le Sueur team. You know, they had pretty good pitching, very strong hitting team. You know, it came up short against them, but you know, it was a lot of fun to get down there, and hopefully something that we'll build off in future years.
That's for sure, and you had a great following there live. Nice crowd.
Yep, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. For playing Sunday night at 4 o'clock, I don't know, I think we maybe got started closer to 5, but I know we didn't get home till about 11 o'clock, but, you know, it's a lot to expect your fans from Madison to travel down there to watch you, but, you know, with all the family members that we had and some friends, it seemed like it was really well attended, so thank you to everyone that made the trip out there, but, yeah, I guess it was really fun to see. I felt like we represented Madison, or the community represented Madison well in Belle Plaine.
That's right, and they're a good team. A lot of them had either currently or past college baseball players.
Yep, yeah, I didn't really quite look at their roster to get that in depth with where everyone originated from, but seeing the state program afterwards, it seemed like about 80 or 90% of the kids on that team were either currently playing college baseball, previously played college baseball, or were going to be playing college baseball here after this summer. So they're a pretty loaded team. You know, it's they come from a, I'm not sure, I guess, which league that they were in, but they come from a pretty big baseball area,
yeah.
Which is really thriving for town team, and you could see it in the athletes that they had, but you know, I feel like if we would have played a little bit better defensively and had a few more timely hits, you know, it should have been a lot closer game than what it ended up being with that 10-4 final.
Well, I know Madison hosted the first and third weekend of Region 9C, and peaked at the right time, especially in the first and second week, which was not in Madison, but it was up in Morris, but the team peaked at the right time.
Yep, yeah, at least we got it done anyways. You know, it's we knew that we'd have some tough couple games. You know, we almost didn't even make it out of that first game. We had a tough goal with that game against Appleton on Saturday, but, you know, we knew with how the bracket had shook out with the region 9C teams, the seeding, that we would have to face Dumont and likely Mineota to clinch a state berth. And, you know, we were able to get that done. You know, both those teams had made it to state the previous year. You know, Dumont has had quite a bit of success in recent years in the state tournament. So it was nice to get it done against those teams. You know, we had hit the ball well. Brandon Bornhorst was throwing for both those games, and then he did our state tournament game as well. So, you know, he was hot at the right time and kind of yep. carried us through. Yep. So, you know, it was good to beat a couple teams, and, you know, just kind of, I don't know, a little irritating to end the season with three straight losses with how it shook out. But, you know, we had those injuries. We had guys missing during the region tournament, yeah. too. And, you know, at least we had everyone back for that state game and somewhat healthy. It was nice to see Matt Inger catching behind right. the plate again.
Right. Yeah.
And nice to see Evan Kells playing third base and collecting those two hits and having those RBIs. So, you know, he had a very good day at the plate. And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Maybe just recap your season a little bit for us, but it was an enjoyable season for watching the Mallards.
Yep, of course. You know, how 2023 season ended, you know, it kind of left a sour taste in our mouth because, you know, we kind of felt that You know, we were a good enough team that we could make it to the state tournament, and we just kind of fell short then. But coming in 2024, you know, I think we finished Land of Ducks with an 8-4 record. We did play some non-league games as well. Didn't come out too favorable in those games, but, you know, in those non-league games, we're running kind of short on those. You know, I think I even had to pitch in one of those games. So, you know, that wasn't quite fun. I think my shoulder hurt for a few weeks. But, you know, we had a fairly successful Land of Ducks season. You know, we beat everyone behind us but lost the guys that were in front of us during the regular season. And, you know, of course, when you think about playoffs, we were able to get it done when it mattered. So, but, yeah, finished 8-4 in the Land of Ducks. And that was the 5 seed to go into the region tournament. You know, and then we won those first 3 games in the playoffs. But, you know, overall, if we just look at some of our stats from some of our guys, you know, Brandon Bornhorst, he kind of led the way this year from a pitching standpoint. You know, he was 7-3 for us, had a 2.41 ERA, which is a little bit higher than where he's probably been in previous years. But, you know, it's at the same time, he still doesn't walk anybody. So yep. If anyone is watching him or any young kids that happen to be listening to this, you know, it's one thing that you need to make sure that you're paying attention to when you're working on your pitching is walks, because walks will hurt you. And, you know, thankfully, Brandon isn't a pitcher that will give up very many of them. You know, Avery Whitnable, Wyatt Halverson, you know, I'm sure they both would have preferred to throw a little more innings this summer, you know, for various events going on in their lives or, you know, some arm injuries. You know, they just weren't able to get the innings that you would hope for. You know, Avery Whitnable, he won a couple games, lost a couple games. You know, one thing with him and being a lefty, it's – He doesn't give up many walks or hits either. You know, he actually, if you look at WHIP, which is walks and hits per innings pitched, You know, he was under 1. So, you know, not even one base runner was reaching base. You know, Brandon Bornhorst was a little over 1. So 2 very quality pitchers. You know, it would have been nice to get Avery on the mound in that state game, but, you know, with arm trouble that he was dealing with a couple weeks prior, made me a little nervous to throw him in that situation. You know, and then Wyatt Halverson's the other one that's kind of our third pitcher, or 1-2-3. Those guys get up the most for innings. You know, he's another strikeout pitcher. Both him and Avery are. So, you know, from a pitching standpoint, you know, we have good ones. Team ERA, though, this year was just under 4. So, you know, overall a little bit higher than previous years. I think we went backwards from 2023. But, you know, with that, you know, I think our defense took a little bit of a step backwards, too, from the previous year. You know, I think I remembered probably a handful of errorless games in 2023, but I think we really only had 1 in 2024. So, you know, with the defense, you know, it puts more pressure on your pitchers, and that's kind of probably where we faced a little bit higher ERA than previous years, is putting more pressure on them. So, but I guess with the shortcomings defensively, you know, offensively, we probably had one of our better team batting averages that I can actually remember. So I don't know if we haven't kept stats every year. You know, sometimes it's because we don't want to have stats because they're so poor. But you know, our team batting average was 251, you know, and that was kind of supported by, we had 7 guys that were primarily seeing most of the innings or at bats here at the end of the season that were all batting over 250, you know, and one of them being Matt Inger. You know, of course, he missed quite a few games with being injured, but he still hit slightly over 400. It seems like he just continues to do that year after year after year, despite, you know, getting older every year. Father Time just doesn't seem to be catching up with him.
Well, so, you hit the ball pretty good too.
Yeah. Well, I try to. I guess not as good as I would have hoped. Mm. You know, I think for myself, I guess I didn't really anticipate putting in this many innings or getting this many at bats this year. I was kind of hoping for it to be a transition year, but that just didn't end up being in the cards. And, you know, for myself, I think if I would have known I would have been playing more innings, I certainly would have gotten myself in better shape. So, but other than that, you know, Brandon Hill, he was 2nd on the team, batting average at 342. You know, we had 3 guys, Landon Sherm, Very steady guy out in center field. Awesome leadoff hitter, steals bases. You know, and Brandon Hill and then Carter Hamlin, it was nice to get him back. They all tied with 26 hits on the year.
Good.
Yeah, and then looking at the doubles in the stat category, that kind of surprised me. You know, I think we only averaged one or just under one double a game. So that surprised me. But for the amount of home runs that we had, we did have 11 home runs, which I'm sure led any season that we've had. You know, most of them occur in Madison. I think maybe only one occurred away. But, you know, with the home runs, I would say, in Madison, they certainly helped us more than they hurt us. I don't think we gave up too many, actually, throughout the season. So, you know, that's certainly a positive. And then, you know, Landon Sherm, I alluded to him earlier with those 20 stolen bases leading the team. Just very strong, very fast. And Carter Hamlin had those 21 RBIs. So overall, just very good offensive team. You know, I think there's a few guys that wish they or would have liked to have done more. You know, hopefully it's something that we can, you know, work on in the offseason or leading into next year is lessening or lowering our strikeouts. Because, you know, it's one thing that, you know, if you're not putting the ball in play, you're definitely not going to help the team or not get on base. So, you know, hopefully we make a little bit of extra effort there.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming in every week and talking about baseball and looking forward to next year.
Yep. No, I thank you for having me, and thank you to you and Paul for making the trip to the state tournament in Bell. Yeah, again, it's a lot of fun. You know, thank you again to all the fans. Yeah. You know, it's I can't individually thank everybody for everything that they do for the Mallards and then the Madison community, because then I know I'll end up forgetting somebody.
Right.
So we'll just leave it very broad to thank you. I guess one thing, I guess I would individually thank Darby Biergon for all his contributions to the Madison Mallards over his, I believe, 20-year career. He helped get the Mallards started back up in 2004. I think he took 1 year off after the birth of Rory, but then has been with us pretty consistently ever since. You know, it's he's a baseball guy. It's, for me, it's nice to have him around to help with the coaching, especially when I'm playing. So he privately to me had announced that this was his last year. So thank you to Darby, and congratulations on a successful Mallards career.
Okay. Well, that's Matt Munson on Mallards, and we're looking forward to 2025 next year.
Yep. So. Thank you, Dick.
Yep.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's back to school time. Rick Stoltz and your friends at Swenson Nelson and Stoltz in Madison remind you, as school reopens this fall and kids head back to the classroom, think safety first. Prevent injuries and illness before they happen by following some simple safety tips. Don't text or talk on the phone while walking. Distracted walking can be dangerous, especially near traffic and crosswalks. For the two-year period from 2019 to 2020, there were an estimated 4,600 emergency room-treated injuries associated with walking while distracted on the phone. Put your phone down and think safety first. This back-to-school safety message going out your way today from Rick Stoltz and your friends at Swenson, Nelson, and Stoltz Attorneys in Madison.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn attention now to girls volleyball. And with me this morning is Brooklyn Gold, and welcome back.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
Yeah, but good to be back. So, of course, you're ready to go. You've had a couple scrimmages and things like that, but first off, let's introduce your team for this year.
Yep. So this year we have returning seniors Jalen Lee and Brandy Meyer, and they both played all the way around last year for me, so I think they're going to be very valuable girls on our team this year. They did actually put in a lot of work this off season too, so I feel like they're stronger than last year, so I'm very excited to have them back, and they're also our senior captains this year. And then we have Mikey and Elias, Samara Sepinen, and Gabby Elias. They are seniors as well. They didn't come out last year, but they are here this year, which is really nice because we needed some back row people, so I'm glad to have them. And then our returning juniors that are playing are Abby Omland and Callie Kahn. Callie is our middle hitter, and she is our junior captain this year. She's also very valuable. You know, we got a big front row this year, and she's got some more power and technique down with her swing and blocking, so I think she'll be a big powerhouse for us in the middle as well. Abby Omland, she is a junior setter this year, and she set for me last year, but she only played in the front row. So this year she's playing all the way around. One thing about Abby is she is one of the scrappiest setters I've ever seen in my life. When I think ball is dead, she's somehow on the ground and popped it back up. So she will also be very valuable to the team this year. And then our other outside that we have playing for us this year is Carson Whitnable. She got a little bit of varsity time last year. She is a little bit shorter, but, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody that's short because I'm short and I played outside all the way around. She has a good vertical, and she's definitely gotten more confident over the summer and into the season. And I think this year will be a big growing year for her, playing with all the girls that she's playing with. And she did really well at our scrimmage on Tuesday as well. And then Peyton Sachs, she played a little bit of – she's a bit of back row for me last year too. But this year I'm kind of expecting big things from her. I've been a little hard on her this summer, but I'm trying to get her technique down so she can be dependable in the back row. And she'll be playing back middle for us, and she's grown a lot too. You know, she's been putting in the hours outside of practice so that it shows that she wants it, so mm-hmm. That's been good. And then our other setter that we have is Maya Swatsky. She is an eighth grader that I had playing on varsity. You know, last year she set on C and JV, and then she went and played club volleyball at Southwest, and she grew so much over the summer and into the season. And I didn't really know who I was going to have as my second setter, but, you know, throughout preseason and summer, she's done such a terrific job. And I think she's going to be very valuable for us this year, even as an eighth grader. I think people kind of look at it like she's just an eighth grader, but when you compare her to some other setters, she's probably on the top side of it. So very valuable to have her as well. Then the rest of the varsity team that we have that are kind of just on the bench right now are Paisley Monroe and Lindsay Lovix, and they're both juniors. They're back row players for us, and Paisley, she'll probably get some playing time for us because she's got a nasty short serve, so that's good. And then Shayla Meyer, she's also an outside hitter, and Marley Lovixon as well. She's a setter. She's going to be playing JV, but she'll probably see some playing time on varsity as well. So that's kind of our varsity roster this year.
So you have C, B, and A?
Yep, C, B, and A. And we all scrimmaged on Tuesday at YME, and there was four teams there. And overall, when I talked to the coaches and I was watching, we were on the top side of every single team. So that's really refreshing compared to the kind of year we had last year. So I think this year's going to be a good year for Lacaparo volleyball.
Does everybody in the conference have three teams too?
Yep.
Pretty much?
I think so for the most part. I think most of the team, they're not in our conference, CGB sometimes didn't have a C squad, but they do this year, which is good because otherwise there'd be a big gap for our first game till our second game for C squad. So
yeah. Okay. Well, coaching staff.
JV, we have Molly Hennen. She was a varsity coach a few years ago in junior high, and she got moved up to JV this year. Tyler Mortensen, she's still coaching C squad with me, which is good because it's nice having consistent staff. And then we have one junior high team, Janelle Boyum, and she was on our coaching staff as junior high the last couple years too. So same faces, just kind of some different positions for them. And yeah, we have a great coaching staff this year. Yeah,
good, good. Well, the usual question that I ask all the coaches at this time of the year season is what teams look good conference-wise, and then got to look at the section as well.
I feel like, you know, in our conference, we have one of the hardest conferences when it comes to volleyball and a lot of sports.
Yeah.
You know, Mineona's always up there. They always go to state. Canby should be really good this year. A couple years ago, they were riding a lot of sophomores, so those sophomores are now juniors and seniors, and they'll be good. McCray will be good. RCW's been showing up the last couple years. Yeah, I just feel like in our conference, it's just the teams just keep getting better and better, you know, so I'm just trying to match that. And
including yourself.
Yeah, including ourselves, yeah. Yeah, and I just feel like it's good competition. I mean, for our girls, it's we know going into these games, it's really intimidating, and it's just, you know, whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter. It's just what we can learn and what we can adapt for our next games and practices, you know, and I'm excited for this season. You know, we've been working really hard, and the girls are very positive this year, which has been really refreshing. And, you know, and I think we could do some really good things this year.
Section-wise?
Section-wise, you know, you have RTR over there, and because they moved to a different conference, so they're usually pretty good. TMB, I think they lost a lot of older girls last year, but, you know, they've always been up there, too. Yeah, so, I mean, RTR is the big target over there.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you start your schedule this up-and-coming week. School first on Monday.
School first on Monday. It's crazy that's here already.
And then Tuesday, you go on the road, I believe.
Yep, we go to CGB, and that's our only match next week.
Okay.
Yep.
And I think they were in the state softball tournament last year, so they have some good athletes.
Yep. And they lost their senior outside this year, but I would assume they'll still find some people to fill the voids, and everybody grows every year. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, thanks for coming in. Yeah, best of luck on Tuesday, and I guess we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Yep. That sounds good. Thank you, Dick.
Brooklyn Gold on girls volleyball. We'll be talking to Tony Smith about football after this.
It's back to school time, and these back to school safety tips brought to you by your friends at the Greater Community Credit Union in Dawson. Plan a walking route to school. Choose the most direct way with the fewest street crossings, and if possible, with intersections that have crossing guards. Walk with your child beforehand. Teaching your child never to talk to strangers, be sure your child walks to and from school with a sibling, friend, or neighbor. Teach your kids, whether walking, biking, or riding, to obey all traffic signals. These back-to-school safety tips brought to you by the Greater Community Credit Union, Dawson.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. We're going to turn our attention to football. And Tony Smith's in the studio with me this morning, and welcome back, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And
that's right. And, boy, you were... Got two sheets of paper there of roster. You got some good numbers this year.
Yes, we've got really good numbers. Even starting in the junior high, we have 40 kids out in 7th and 8th grade. Matt Carmody and Dustin Kalloff and Josh Mansky, they have their hands full down there every day.
Yes.
But they're excited to play, and they're learning and getting better every day.
Right.
And then as far as the 9 through 12 squad, right now, our current roster is 45 kids, 13 seniors, 7 juniors, 14 sophomores, and 11 freshmen.
And
so
out of that, a number of lettermen, too.
Yes. You know, you take a look at these seniors, a lot of them have played a lot of snaps over the last 3 or 4 years. So we've got some experience, we've got some speed, we've got some beef. And so, you know what, this year, as far as depth goes, we're starting to develop some more of that. So, you know what, it's been a very good 2 weeks.
Good. Well, let's go through some of the names of the returning letter winners, and then I think you got a couple new faces as well.
Yeah, seniors, Davis Patzer, Caden Kessler, Tyler Earp, Dylan Keimig, Tygan Allpress, Brock Biernhild, Landon Weber, Noah Meyer, Blake Wells, Jesse Wynn, Drew Borsted are all returning from last year's team. And then we have an addition to the Lacaparo Valley School District, and I hope I get his last name right, Carson Carapi. He is coming to us from North Branch. He had moved into town, so very excited to see what he brings to our team. Juniors, we have Nolan Smith, Brant Schomer, Gabe Lowry, Reese Foster Anderson, Talon Kranz, Elias Alonzo, and Douglas Bruner. They were all on the team last year as sophomores. This year's sophomore group, we have Gavin Meyer, Mason Wood, Grant Bierke, Gavin Mortensen, Riley Borman, Jax Wells, Samarson Sepanon, Jace Deline, Gus Holm Knudsen, Kyler Kep, Kason Heineke, Matthew Sherman, and Thor Hewitt. And then as our freshmen go, these guys, I always like to say they don't know what they don't know. when they come in, all of a sudden they feel like they're pretty good and things are going okay, and they look at you like, well, where does this belt go and where do these knee pads go? So I always tell the freshmen, you guys don't know what you don't know. Freshman-wise, Carter Moen, Jackson Fernalds, Tanner Tilbury, Evan Schliemann, Adrian Specht, Alex Nyans, Angel Alonzo, Lavin Roberts, Scott Asfeld, Tucker Lyons, and One John Romanus.
Okay.
Make up our roster.
Wow. And in the past, some of these guys who really had to count quarters because they would play JV football and then maybe get on a special team here and there for the varsity. So, but now it should be pretty well set for JV and varsity.
What's been really nice in these first 2 weeks is we've been able to run three teams.
Good.
And been able to get a lot of reps for a lot of different kids. And as I said to start with, we've got a lot of experience coming back with these seniors, but really what we're looking for is, can we develop some depth on some special teams? The other day we were talking about, hey, maybe it'd be nice to get in and get a break for a couple of plays instead of a hand signal, throw a water bottle, and maybe yell something on the way by.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that just, in my opinion, in the long run, just continues to promote the sport and get kids out and get them playing. And they have a real sense of team when on a Friday night they get to run out there and contribute.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form.
Did you have enough equipment for everybody?
You know what? It was we ordered a little bit here and there to make it work, but yeah, we have some now.
Great, great, great. Well, the question I always ask every year is, what teams look good in the Camden Conference? And then you got to look at the section as well.
Well, the Southwest West District is just, every year there's two at the top. It's Bold, it's Mineota. And then you just kind of sift it out from there and who can withstand the injuries or have some lucky bounces here or there to find themselves in a 3, 4, or 5 seed. Mineota is Mineota until they're not. And Bold, this is their group. They've had a senior class. This year's senior class has come through. And to be totally honest, I was down and watched that section championship last year. That was the state championship in Class A. Bold was at the 5-yard line and had a chance to go in for the win. They didn't get it. And Mineota, obviously, they just kind of rolled themselves through another state championship. So, you know, it's an opportunity, obviously, to play the best, and you get to find out how you match up against the best.
Okay. And you're involved in a scrimmage tomorrow.
We're in Benson. We are scrimmaging Benson and McCray, who's actually a part of our district, but we don't play them until later in the year. And, you know, for us, we just want to get in, get the kids some reps, get a chance to hit somebody different, see a different colored jersey, and then get out of there and move on for our first week.
And you open up your season on Thursday of next week at home.
Yes, Thursday at home against Murray County Central.
Kickoff
is at 7 o'clock.
Great.
Last year we lost to them, I think it was 42-41.
Yeah.
We went for two in the win and came up just an inch or two short.
Okay.
But very entertaining, and I would expect nothing different this time around.
Well, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning, Tony.
Sounds good.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and have more of the Coach Show after this.
Jubilee Foods in Madison would like to wish all of our area students a great school year as back-to-school time is upon us. After school, kids should remember to not let strangers into their home. The real rule needs to be keep the doors shut and locked at all times. Don't fill your child's head with don'ts. Simply tell them to keep all doors closed. If someone comes to the door, your child can communicate with that person through the door. Another thing parents should ask their child to do is call and let you know when they're home safely from school. This back-to-school safety message going out your way today from Jubilee Foods in Madison, Minnesota, your locally owned hometown grocery store where they bag your groceries and carry them right out to your car.
It's back-to-school time. Here's a back-to-school safety tip on backpack safety brought to you by Johnson Memorial Health Services. Pack light. A backpack should never weigh more than 10 to 20% of the student's body weight. Organize the pack to make use of all compartments and pack heavier items closest to the center of the back. Choose a pack with wide padded shoulder straps and a padded back. Always use both shoulder straps. Slinging a backpack over one shoulder can strain muscles and may increase curvature of the spine. These backpack safety rules for back-to-school safety brought to you by your friends at Johnson Memorial Health Services in Dawson.
The 2024 Lackawanna County Fair in Madison is happening September 5th through the 8th. Now's the time to get your pre-sale fair ride wristbands. Available at United Prairie Bank in Madison, Old National Bank in Madison, Casey's in Madison and Dawson, Jubilee Foods, Lackawanna Co-op Oil, Madison, Tim's Food Pride, Midwest Bank in Dawson, Dawson Co-op Credit Union, State Bank of Bellingham, and Bruce's 66 in Marietta. Those advanced wristbands available at those locations till noon September 4th for just $20. Be listening for all kinds of activities coming up during the Lackawanna County Fair, September 5th through the 8th in Madison. We'll see you there. We tend to think of air pollution as an outside issue, but indoor air can also be polluted. Inadequate ventilation, smoke, vapors, mold, cleaning chemicals, and other pollutants can all affect indoor air quality and have a significant impact on your health. Boost your indoor air quality with Energy Star certified dehumidifiers and air cleaners. A $25 rebate is available for both to help you breathe easier during the summer heat and humidity. For more information on these rebates and more, contact the City of Madison or visit brightenergysolutions.com.
When addiction takes hold, it's easy to feel like no one can help. But you're not in this alone. For 75 years, Hazelden Betty Ford has been at the forefront of addiction and mental health care, evolving treatment, reimagining recovery, and breaking through barriers to help families everywhere find healing. So please reach out at 855-489-2383. Help is here. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation and aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back here at the station, talking tennis, girls tennis with Dr. Brant Hacker. Just walked in the door. Good timing there, Doctor.
That worked out okay.
Yes, it did. So, you, like every year, you're probably a third through your conference already before school starts, and you had six events this past week.
Yeah, we were busy, and that's actually including a rainout for three matches. So we got six in the last week here. We were in five different cities over that time. So we were out, we were road warriors this week.
Yeah, on the road again.
And we were traveling.
Everything, of course, the tennis you can practice on them all at school and
yeah.
on some of them.
Some of them, yeah. Some we got to be a little careful. But
you have to go on the road.
So. Yeah. So we were down in Redwood to play Montevideo and Redwood. We ended up losing 7-0 to Montevideo. They look like they're going to be the team to beat this year in our conference, probably in our section to boot.
Okay.
They have a senior named Brooke Lindemann who's back. She went to state as a singles player last year. So super solid that way. They have, I was just kind of looking at my book here, they've got another six seniors other than her even. Oh. So they are stacked this year. So we ended up losing to Monty 7-0. We had some close matches, just couldn't pull them out in our direction. You know, we do get to line up against them again later in the season as a duel. So I know the kids are kind of excited to see what they can do second time around.
Right.
I'll just go through our kind of our lineup, if
sure.
you don't mind. Just
yeah.
This is where we're at right now. It may not stay this way for the season, but we've kind of stuck with this lineup for these first six matches. Hannah Oya, senior from LAC, is playing number one singles for us. Kayla Jan, a senior also from LAC, is playing two singles. Elsie Wiebe is a senior over from Dawson. She's playing three singles. Alexis Olson is playing fourth singles. She's a junior. Sadie Hacker, Gertie Sieg are both playing one doubles. They're both seniors for us. Maya Virgie, a junior from Dawson, is playing two doubles with Val Piatter from LAC. And then Macy Mowen, an 11th grader from Dawson. Bree Borsted, 10th grader from Madison, or from Lac Parle. And then Reese Kuzman is a 9th grader, and Cameron Olson is a 9th grader, both from Lac and Dawson, respectively. But those four are kind of rotating in at our three doubles position right now. They play out pretty close with each other. But we've got, you know, so that's our 12 gals. That's our varsity lineup right now.
Okay.
Yeah. We then lined up against Redwood for our second match down in Redwood. We ended up beating them 6-1. We had some nice matches really across the board. You know, a lot of times we lost only one player last year, but so you think, well, heck, everything's the same. We didn't have much changes, but actually with that one player that we lost at the top of the doubles lineup, we have five people playing with either new partners, new positions. So out of those seven varsity points or positions, you know, five of them are new. So there's, it's just going to take a little time to gel. We've got singles players playing in doubles, doubles players bouncing over playing singles. And it may be tennis, but it's a little different world between singles and doubles. So it takes a little time to adjust to that. So the gals are doing a good job with that. Then we traveled down to Laverne and Pipestone on Thursday. Both solid teams. We had some good matches. We ended up losing to Laverne 5-2. Again, had some tight matches. Had a hard time getting them to turn our direction in the end. Kayla Jan had a nice three-setter that she pulled out a win at two singles at. And then we picked up our other win at four singles with Alexis Olson versus Laverne. Then we traveled over to Pipestone and played them. We lost, again, a tight one over there, 4-3. We picked up our wins at two singles, three singles, four singles, and that's Kayla Jan, Elsie Wiebe, and Alexis Olson. We did have some tight match. I mean, Hannah Oy went 6-1 in the first set, but lost 7-6 with a tiebreak in the second set. Val Piotr and Maya Virgie at two doubles, played a three-setter. So, you know, they're competitive, I think, kind of learning their partners, learning the positions a little bit. So doing well that way. And then yesterday we closed things up. We traveled over to Marshall, and we saw Marshall and then a school called TCU or Tri-City United. We've never played them before. I was unfamiliar with them and had to look them up on, you know, Google them, figure out where the heck they're coming from. And they're from Montgomery, Minnesota. Yep. Way over near the cities, actually. Yep. Not too far, maybe 40 miles, 30 miles from the southwest cities area. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they were put in Marshall's conference this year. So,
wow.
Yeah, right? So Marshall needs to play them as a conference team, and it worked out where, you know, it was a good matchup for us as well. So we saw Tri-City United for the first time ever yesterday. But we had good weather. We ended up picking up a win 4-3 versus Marshall. The wins came at 2-3 and 4 singles for us. And then one doubles. Again, though, the losses that we posted, the two doubles and three doubles positions, especially three doubles, were very competitive for us. So I think we have potential to pick up points there over the course of the season. But the gal, you know, we played really well. Hannah's kind of moving into, she played one singles for us last year. Hannah always playing one singles again this year, you know, and kind of developing as a player. And I think her game really started clicking a little bit more for her versus our Tri-City United matchup. We ended up losing to them 4-3. Mm-hmm. Had some really good matches, though. We lost in three sets at four singles. We ended up picking up wins at one and two singles, and that's Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan. And then one doubles was Gertie Sieg and Sadie Hacker. I had a really nice doubles match there. So Tri-City is going to be competitive. They had four seniors in their lineup, but most of their one and two singles players are both ninth graders even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they've got some young talent coming up. They'll be competitive there for quite a while. So that was our six matches in five different cities this week. We put a lot of miles on the minibus, but so some of the kids were like, well, you know, driving back from Laverne and Pipestone got to be a little bit long, but we did fine. So that puts us at 2-4 as a team right now in the season. I think we've seen some of the tougher matches of the year already with, I mean, WASC is always a tough team, and we'll see them in like the third week of our season, it looks like. In this coming week, we head up to Melrose on Tuesday. And that's our, and the kids have a short week with Friday off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our only match this coming week. So
okay.
It'll be a little nice to get some practice time in, work on some of the things we're talking about on the courts. It's always hard to like change your game when you're out there playing because, You know, you want to be careful that you're not doing something stupid or giving away easy points. So when the kids are back, we can work on, you know, mid-court balls, second serve attack. You know, we can work on some of these strategy things that sometimes it's hard to incorporate in the middle of matches. You know, on the same hand, like you said, we've got six. That's not even – we had a quad that got rained out. Mm-hmm. So out of our 14 matches for the year that we had left, we've already got six done. We only have eight left at this point. we're going to get into it. We play a conference tournament at the end of September. And then state, you know, section playoffs start right after that. Right. So it goes really fast once school hits.
Right,
so.
Right. Your JV, and did they have any action?
Yeah. Sorry, thanks for bringing that up. So – what was really nice was when we went down to Laverne and Pipestone, we were able to bring our JV with for those.
Okay.
So all the gals got at least, you know, one match at each location. And then all of the JV came with over to Redwood yesterday as well. And it worked out really well because when your varsity players come off the court, they get a half an hour, 40 minutes to just kind of, you know, get a break, get some food, get some water before they have to get back on the court and play a whole nother match. Well, by the time the varsity's coming off, you can fill all this court with JV players. They all got a match, if not two matches, yesterday.
Good.
So everybody got to play. So JV was with and had matches Thursdays and Friday this past week. So that was really nice.
And then junior high, they...
Yep. No, it's kind of JV, junior high as our two groups, really.
Okay. So everybody in the program.
Yeah, everybody in the program was playing. Okay. We have 24 kids total this year, so really thankful. We've got a few new people and then a few gals that came over in like 8th or 9th grade, so really happy to have them. You know, and they're doing really well, especially those older gals. They tend to pick things up a little quicker, tend to be more athletic. They're a little stronger, a little faster that way. So, and they're doing really well. They're working really hard. And it's fun to travel as a team. You know, a lot of times when we end up at practices, you know, we've got the varsity here and the JV here because you're doing different drills. They have different skill levels there. So being able to do things together is really nice. Sure. Kind of bring up, get that team feeling together. You know, we start, like I mentioned, we have Melrose on Tuesday. Well, JV goes a different direction. They're over at Montevideo on Tuesday. And then practices, you know, most of the time school starts, you've got matches Tuesday, Thursdays, and the weeks go really fast.
Yeah, they do.
So, and okay. Austin Ireland is still our coach there. He's doing an awesome, I just got to put a plug in for that guy, man. Sure. He is awesome. He gets tons of energy, brings a lot of fun to the program. I love having him there. So he does a great job.
Good. Well, good. Thanks for your talk this morning. Best of luck. On Tuesday in Melrose, and we'll hear all about it. And the JV in Montevideo, we'll hear all about that next Saturday morning.
Hey, that sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Great. Dr. Hacker on Girls Tennis. We'll take this break and finish out the coaches show after this.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with all the money you save?
What you gonna do with all the money you save during the dog days of summer sale at Jubilee Foods in Madison on now? Family pack boneless sirloin pork chops, $1.99 a pound. Family pack USDA choice T-bone steak at just $10.99 a pound. 3 pounds of imported mandarins, just $4.99 at Jubilee Foods in Madison, where they bag your groceries and carry them right to your car.
What you gonna do with all the money you save?
This back-to-school safety message brought to you by Southwest EMS, headquartered in Dawson. For more information, go to SWEMS.org. As students head back to class and families get into their school routines, it's a great time for parents to review some traffic safety basics with their children. Cross at corners, never in the middle of the block. Stop and look in all directions before crossing. If there is no sidewalk, walk facing traffic in single file as far away from the road as possible. Wear white or reflective clothing after dark. Wear properly fitting safety equipment when riding a bicycle, and remember, a bicycle is a vehicle and must follow the same rules of the road as cars. This back-to-school safety message brought to you by Southwest EMS. For more information, go to southwestems.org.
All right, a couple of seconds left here, Dick. Any final words of wisdom?
I don't know about wisdom, but with all the high school teams starting this up-and-coming week, and then finished out the Mallard season. So it was a great coaching show, and everybody tried to speed up their talk, and we made it. So,
all right, we got to go, so we'll see you next week, Dick.
Yeah, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
You're listening to KLQP, Madison-Dawson. We're at 92.1 FM. Time to take a break for news from Fox News Radio. Check the weather here on Q92 on this Saturday morning.
endorsement in the desert. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Putting a stop and ending his White House bid, but he also endorsed former President Donald Trump yesterday at a rally in Glendale, Arizona.
We watched a moment that in past elections would have been unthinkable. A Kennedy walking on stage and endorsing the Republican nominee for president. But that's exactly what happened. RFK Jr. was met by thunderous applause from the crowd. Former President Trump mentioned the fact that over the course of RFK Jr.'s campaign, he went after Trump, but the former president welcomed Kennedy's supporters into the fold. The moment of those two men on stage together was a significant one, and we'll have to wait and see the impact on the presidential race. But the former president also spent a lot of time going after Vice President Harris, getting the last word after the biggest speech of her political career.
And that's Fox's Grady Trimble in Glendale, Arizona. VP Kamala Harris, meantime, back in D.C., resuming her official duties.
Vice President Harris is trying to have it all when talking about the